This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying with us on The Morning Run here with Lin Mark, Sharit Abdullah and Wang Xiaoning. Now, in about half an hour, we are going to be having the Breakfast Grill where Malik Ali is going to be speaking to Stephen Gunn, who's the editor-in-chief and co-founder of Malaysia Kini. Now, Malik Ali is, of course, the founder of BFM ourselves. Now, this is on the back of World Press Freedom Day. So Malik Ali will be speaking to Stephen Gunn to discuss press freedoms, the upcoming Media Council, as well as the future of media moving forward. Moving on to our next story, Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway held its annual shareholders meeting in Omaha, Nebraska on Saturday, and it sounds like quite the carnival. So there were tens of thousands of investors descending onto Omaha to listen to the Oracle of Omaha, as Buffett is known. So he took the stage with his longtime business partner, Charlie Munger.
Yeah, and I think there were a lot of questions there, and a lot of it were with regards to share buybacks. So he tweaked its policy last year, opening up the avenue for more potential capital deployment. And some of the key, you know, it's very key for Berkshire because, you know, of the swelling cash pile that reached about, we're talking about $115 billion at the end of the quarter. And he was clear on his point that he doesn't want to do any buyback just for the sake of it. And he wants to make sure that any repurchases of stock only will happen if it's below intrinsic value.
And Mr. Buffett also disclosed that he had added e-commerce giant Amazon to his portfolio. Now, he's very well known for shunning investing in technology companies on the basis that he doesn't buy what he doesn't understand, which proved to be very good for him in 2000 when the dot-com bubble burst. But along the way, he has invested and he also has lost money, famously was IBM.
And Kraft Heinz as well.
Oh, Kraft Heinz, yes. That was a bad investment for him. But one thing about him is that he is quite open about what he buys during this investor day, which is, like you say, Sharit, a carnival. And all the companies that he invests in, they actually have booths there. At one time, they had like a Dairy Queen booth so you could go and get your ice cream, or there will be the car companies. They will be showing their cars on display there. Yes.
Amazing.
So
it's
quite an affair.
It is.
Quite nice. Anyway, at the same time, I think just looking at some of the quarterly results that came out of Berkshire Hathaway. Now, there has been report on surge in profit in the first 3 months for the year, thanks to a rebound in the stock market, and most of it is and most of its underlying business. So, the company swung to a net profit of close to $22 billion from a loss of $1.1 billion the year before, and in the 3 months to the end of March.
Now, Berkshire put down $16.1 billion in profits to the rise in the value during the quarter of its multi-billion-dollar stock market and derivatives portfolio, including stakes in Apple, Bank of America, and Coca-Cola, as well as the sale of some securities. But the operating results didn't include figures for its share of the earnings at Kraft Heinz.
Now, the other interesting thing about this conference was that Warren Buffett and actually showcased the potential successors. As you know, Buffett is 88 and Munger is 95 years old. So there have been questions about what's going to happen to Berkshire Hathaway when the two men aren't around in the future. And they highlighted top executives Ajit Jain, who's 67, and Greg Abel, who's 56, who are seen as Buffett's potential successors. They were promoted last year to vice chairman rank. Now, if you ever wanted to go for the conference, just bear in mind that one share, I repeat, one share of Class A Berkshire Hathaway is only $327,000.
$327,000?
Yes, oh, US dollars.
Yeah, that's all right.
And in the 15 years performance, the stock price has gone up 70%, outperforming the Dow Jones by 10%, which only went up by 60%. So he is really the oracle of Omaha.
Amazing. So if you ever want to get into that, I guess you'd need to have quite a few million in pocket change to spend.
$327,000 to be precise. US dollars, no less.
Okay, now in other news as well, synthetic collateralized debt obligations, or CDOs, are set to make a comeback after blowing up in the financial crisis. Now, this time, hedge funds and other investors are convinced that the structures won't just weather the next downturn, but might even profit from it.
So, CDO, bundled up risky loans and bonds into newer, higher and rated securities. So that's what it's all about. I mean, we've heard this before in the 2008 housing bubble, subprime crisis as well, something similar to that.
Potato, potato.
There you go. So, I mean, synthetic CDO would allow multiple bets on the same subprime mortgages, making them especially risky. So they offer investors higher returns than can be found in global bonds market. Investors willing to take the first losses on the underlying credit derivatives can receive yields of, we're looking around 10%.
Now, what's the difference this time, they say? Well, they say that this time, hedge funds, not banks, are the big buyers, okay? And they're accounting for 70% of volume in the market. Banks now only account for 10%, down from 50% 5 years ago. And why are CDOs coming back? I think it's down to just everybody chasing returns.
I think, but one of the worries about CDOs is that they are sometimes rather opaque, right? You don't actually know what kind of debt is behind the CDO.
Yes, and at the end of the day, when things go bad, everything goes bad.
Yeah, but at the same time, we're looking at a different sort of backing, isn't it? I mean, previously subprime mortgages, it was on property, and this time around, CDO are backed by corporate debt, and so we're looking at perhaps risk of disaster dramatically reduced in that sense.
The argument is that the CDO market is very small at this current juncture, and it's, I think, even below what was 2011 levels. But to me, I think the other thing that we should be mindful of or worrying about is collateralized loan obligations. Now, that is at the all-time high at this juncture. And I think American corporates or corporates in general around the world have been binging on cheap credit. And if interest rates go up suddenly, for whatever reason, which doesn't seem to be the case at this moment, I have to say, it will be difficult for corporates to pay down their loans. Or if sales or revenue turns down sharply too.
Yeah, so I think we're looking at companies like Citigroup, BNP Paribas, Societe Generale, and Barclays is also looking to increase presence in this market as well.
It's never a good time when you see these banks trying to snap up all these traders to kind of boost profits. I don't know where it will lead to.
But 10% though, right, in volume?
That yeah, would be... but you know, markets have short memories, right?
Okay. And we'll be back with more news after this. But don't forget to weigh in on the poll we have running on the BFM Twitter. So that's at BFM Radio. And we're asking the question of a year on, how do you think Pakatan Harapan's performance in office has been? So let us know what you think. Your options are good, poor, somewhere in between, and too early to tell. And this is because we are coming up on the 1 year anniversary of GE14. So stay with us. We'll be back with more news after this. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.